boss. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guys lost. Everybody knows.
All right, hello. It's a late start. Sorry about that, everybody. Hey, technical issues. What a surprise. Monday, September the 12th. Monday, September 2nd, 2024. This is the All Shots Clot Show. Hello, everyone. AllShotsClot.com. Fake it until you make it. You got it, Esteban. Tonight's guest is a returning guest, a guest who understands really what's going on with this great PSYOP. And, without further ado, since I wasted so much time trying to connect, it's John Lukash from somewhere, I believe, in Virginia. How are you, John?
I'm doing good, man. I'm glad to be here.
All right. Thanks for coming on. You know, you use Zoom. I don't normally use Zoom. I don't even have it on my computer because it sort of screws everything up and takes everything over. So, but you said your Zoom was working well, so maybe I'll have to put it on for next time.
Yeah, I mean, I know it does that, but it's the only thing that, you know, takes no effort. It just works, right? So I don't know how, but it's reliable.
Yep. All right. So how you been? When were you last on?
I don't know, maybe a month or two ago. Hard to remember. I do a bunch of interviews, and like whenever anybody asks me, I always say, yeah, sure, no problem.
You're a good man. So how's your investigation going? Tonight we were going to talk about anaphylaxis and Northern Tracy because,
when I saw that, I think it was just something that Catherine Watt put out, and I was sitting in a hotel room with my mom. We went to the beach last week, and so, you know, I'm killing a little time because we're back or about to go, and I'm looking through what, you know, is linked there, and I was just amazed, and I couldn't really follow it. It was very strange. I'd never heard of Northern Tracy, but you seem to know who she is.
Yeah. Wait. Let's start at the beginning. We're talking about Catherine Watt, who is one of my favorite authors. I think she has the best view of this whole thing. I think she's bang on. And it was a confusing article because your name was there and Northern Tracy's name was there. I couldn't track what the hell she was talking about. So
I don't think she was really, you know, citing as she went along, but I recognize my quotes because I wrote that book, and she was doing, I mean, she was including screen grabs of different bullets that that my mother took.
Yeah,
over
get a little closer to the phone there, buddy. You went away.
Yeah, my mother took over the editing at one point because the previous editor was just arguing with me, and we weren't getting anywhere. And so at that point, she started doing creative stuff, like throwing these little bubble or, you know, bullets to, you know, grab a point out of the text and throwing them up in the PDF as a an image that I had no way to fuck with. But it was fine. You know, I mean, they were cool, but that's what most of them are. And then she had the title of the book in the front cover, I think, at one point.
Yeah. And so I'm looking at it now. So is this the title and front cover, COVID-19 vaccines?
Well, it's part of it. It's like just part of it. And so I knew that, you know, I was being included here, and I could kind of figure out, even though I don't know if people realize this, but you write a book and then like a couple of years or three go by and you forget what the hell's in your own book. You got to go pick it up and check when somebody asks you about, you know, what's on page 4, 8, 12. And so I'm in that stage with all of them. Second book, I don't even really pick up. I just like throw it away. It's fucking crap, most of it. So I was wrong.
So this was from February 26, 2022. That's when Northern Tracy posted it.
Yeah.
And the only thing in this article regarding your book is just this screenshot. This is just a graphic. That's why I was so mixed up.
Well, no. It actually, she's doing screen grabs of parts of the text here and there.
Okay, so this is your text.
It's not all of it. Not all of it. She's conflating me with somebody else who I've never seen before, but I'm
Cloud Richet?
Yeah. We're both talking, well, all three of us. I think there are three different people speaking or composing this. So there's Northern Tracy, there's the other author who I don't know who he is, and there's my book. So
Claude Richer, he was from 100 years ago. You're not really competing with him anymore.
No, but yeah. I felt like I was competing a little bit with Northern Tracy because, you know, I'm doing this together with my mom. She's sitting next to me and we're trying to figure it out. And, you know, I don't want to say anything bad because she can't defend herself. She's dead. I don't mean to, you know, disparage anything that she put down here, but it appeared to the two of us that she was, and this is what my mom said, it looks like she's trying to pass off two other authors as a conclusion that she came to herself. But if that is the case, you know, people do that. The problem is she was fine for a while and then she went off the rails somehow with some weird stuff. And so I felt like this girl's not getting it. You know?
Oh, okay.
And my problem with that was only that, geez, I hope people think that this isn't coming out of my book as well, because it's wrong. You know, and I don't really remember what it was. It was just the other author did a biopic on Charles Richer. What I did was I read some additional information about him to make sure that I knew what I could find out, you know, add it as, you know, just general information. So people know who the guy was. But really, the entire book is based on his Nobel Prize speech, his acceptance speech. That has everything you need to know. And so,
your book is based on his acceptance speech?
My book,
yes.
My first one, is principally taken from the information he provided in his Nobel acceptance speech in 1913. It was a summary that was absolutely awesome, bulletproof. It said everything needed to be said without any fluff, and it was perfect. I just, you know, I wasn't going to copy it and publish it. I was going to, you know, talk about, you know, I was going to use it, but I was going to talk about, you know, what epiphany came to me, because it hit me like a brick when it came to me. I was like, wow. So, you know, I'll just try to be as brief as possible about that. If way back when vaccines began, if they anticipated with full, complete, and perfect, you know, foresight, what we appear to be doing today, the only thing that was missing was computing power and data storage capacity. And as we know, that, you know, just shot up exponentially as soon as everybody started using the same thing. So I thought to myself, gee, if they had this back then and were actually able and doing a procedure that, you know, with equipment that, you know, we didn't have then, so I thought it was unlikely, but scary, because when it became likely, I thought that if they were able to give you a vaccine, for example, any vaccine, and they had an exhaustive list of every sequence of every protein contained in that vial or formula, that created a situation for you or me or the recipient of that shot that's horrible. According to Charles, you get the same thing twice, and if it is exactly the same thing, you're going to keel over dead in a day, or within 7 for sure. I mean, this apoptoxin your body creates when you inject a alien foreign protein is so potent that I think I think it was 0.0007 of a microliter. Was all it would, I mean, it's nothing, man. It's like, you know, super fentanyl, you know? So to put that in perspective, fentanyl is so much stronger than anything else. If you just take 7 grains of table salt and put them together on a table and stare at it, that's enough to kill you right away. And it's worse than that. So I was like, my God, they just installed a kill switch on every human. But there's no possible way they could have done that. You know, when Reagan was in office. So I was calmed down a little bit by that fact. But, you know, I'm pretty sure that it's possible to begin doing that at some point when the capabilities came around. And certainly, I believe we're well beyond them now. So, wow, definitely don't let anybody inject you with anything and write down what the hell that was. Because, you know, that's what a vaccine card is, essentially, even though people scribble them by hand. You can't read them most times, but
yeah. Now I link that. I have a short thread at shortfake.com/Anna, A-N-A, shortfake.com/ANA. And that'll bring you over here to the Fakeologist forums. So I have the anaphylaxis study by Charles Richet, Nobel Prize winner. And I guess Purple Play brought that to my attention back.
Yeah, give me that link. Then again, I'll type it in. I didn't.
Yeah, shortfake.com, shortfake.com/ANA, which is short for anaphylaxis. And that brings up my forum. So I got tipped off to this probably before I met you by Purple Play, a former fakeologist. And it was fantastic. And that was the anaphylaxis study. So this is the same thing that you used to write your book.
Yeah. So I'm looking at both the Restream screen share and we're just scrolling through. And that
page. And I put a link to your book here. I don't know why I didn't put two and two together when we talked before, but I just put the link for you, your book right here.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I basically give it away in a PDF format. So just, you know, my email is fine. I respond. Everybody gets both books and I just, you know, have this sort of, it needs to be updated probably, but this long thing about, look, here's what you're getting. Don't follow the protocol in the second book. It's horseshit. It's based on medical literature. I didn't know you can't trust that back then. I thought, geez, I'm doing great work here, man. I'm practically a doctor. I'm so proud of it. And it was garbage because I tested it myself and it did nothing for my clinical test subject. So I was like, oh, brother, you know what? This is bad. And so, you know, that's when me and Emmanuel got started and we tried, you know, after a little, fiddling, he came up with those, the formulas in those capsules and we gave that to her and she just turned right around. And so I couldn't believe it. It was so dramatic. You know, I mean, it took a couple of months of taking that, but she didn't even take as much as we thought it would take to have a result that just completely reversed her condition. She was dying, man. She was dying by 12 different measurements. And I had a dozen doctors looking at her, specialists. You know, there's a cardiologist. There's a guy that, you know, taught me to read her MRI, actually, and a few others. Anybody that was willing to help, I allowed, you know, a peek at whatever part of her medical records that I had that pertained to a question that they could answer. And, you know, about half of them said, I don't know why she's alive with those numbers. And the other half said, you know, she'll be dead by the end of the year. And this was, you know, summer of that year. So not a very good prognosis. And we beat that. Like, we beat the shit out of it. Yeah. But,
okay, why don't we go over some of this anaphylaxis thing? This is really what I want to get at tonight. That was the title of tonight's show.
Okay. But,
so your book really has 100 pages of quoting Claude Richet.
Well, no, it has a 30-page long medical thesis that's based on Charles Richet, and I quote his piece extensively in that. And then there's 100 pages of stuff. You know, that was really the big job putting this book together because most of it came out of Varis, and I also had 400 pages of deleted posts on all kinds of platforms that were people that you were like, I'm dying. He's my family member's dead, or you know, the whole nine. And so I had to kind of cull things based on, you know, what kind of image I had, the quality of it. Could it go in here? Could I size it? And boy, I tell you, man, the guy who published that book and I are not friends because he just didn't want to have anything to do with this. It was a disastrous, you know, thing. Everything he sent to me, and I was like, I'm not going to prove that. It looks like horseshit. Can't even read it. And so the task fell to me, who had never tried to publish a PDF novel. And so, you know, and my mother, and, you know, it was like us trying to get the microphone to work on Restream, but we got it done. And, so it came out fine. And so there's a lot of evidence in there, but understand, you know, I must have spent 3 weeks with a helper trying to go through all of it and just select, you know, like divide it all up into 12 different buckets or so. And so that I could categorize it in the book, this type of injury, that type of injury, the other thing. And then pick from, these full buckets, you know, which ones I'm going to use. So yeah, it took a while, man. It weighed longer than it should for a book that size.
Yeah, awesome.
And there's this kind of formula that's a little bit of a fakery. You know, that book was technically a bestseller. It was number one on Amazon's social sciences category for a couple of months. And then, and I only found this out recently, by, you know, scrolling through hundreds of pages of transcript from closed door meetings in the White House, that, you know, Biden and all his high-tech buddies there that help him do this, no, Biden didn't do anything. Whoever's conspiring to censor you and me and everybody else that tells the truth, you know, they had this, they had, you know, Jeff Bezos or some representative from Amazon that, you know, was tasked with the problem of how do you delete stuff. And we have to do it, of course, because we're all in the club together.
Yeah.
And so I was like in the first 100 books that was selected by this committee to be removed from Amazon. And I was pissed, man. That was my income. It just vanished. And Amazon, you know, they sent me a couple of paltry checks, but effectively nobody could find it. I had a direct link that I'm sure, you know, if I gave it to you and you clicked on it, that dead page will come up. But that's how you had to do it. If you searched Amazon, you couldn't find it. It wasn't there. And I was, you know, nothing I did after that on that system they have for self-publishing worked at all. They just, you know, blanket refused everything. And then at some point in the process, I figured out, like, they added a feature. Hey, make a hardcover version of your paperback in one click. And I'm like, let's see what happens if I do that. So I pressed that button, and bam, I was back up there again. But Amazon wasn't paying me by then. So I was like, oh, shit. So now, you know, the situation is I got to pull money out of my own pocket and go to a printer in Florida and republish the book all by myself. It costs, like, I don't know, a couple of grand or more to make 1,000 copies. Or no, I think it was 500 copies. But I did that a couple of times. And so there's a big stack of books that's still down there now of the second book. And I mean, these guys were great, man. I priced it lower than Amazon, so there was a reason to buy it there. And I still made 7 times as much as the last, you know, royalty I saw from Amazon. I don't even look at it anymore. They were paying me something like, you know, as low as 6 or 4 cents per copy, which is just unbelievable when you consider.
Yeah, that's pretty much nothing. Hey, let's get into anaphylaxis, though, man. Let's get to the heart of the matter.
Yeah. All right. Enough of that. Yeah. Don't use Amazon. Don't publish on Amazon if you got controversial material. That's the moral of that story.
Yeah. Let's get going with the anaphylaxis. So let's go through it. What is anaphylaxis?
What is anaphylaxis? Okay. So nobody really agrees. I got a summary here. I'm gonna pull up the
place. Yeah, get a little closer to the mic, would you?
Yeah, I'm gonna. I got a summary. I need to grab it. Anaphylaxis. I'm doing all this from memory. Anaphylaxis is.
Yeah, you're kind of gone quiet there, man.
All right. How's that, Gary?
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah. All right. So, anaphylaxis is a condition that has 4 different distinct stages according to, well, not stages, outcomes, final outcomes. So, you know, you're going to get sick. It's an allergic reaction, and the severity of it is governed by a few things having to do with what you're exposed to. So the body responds to a toxic exposure that is, you know, mainlined, essentially, because, you know, you're injecting this. You might hit a vein. You might just, you know, hit a subcutaneous tissue. And they destroyed the instructions, you know, just mangled the instructions deliberately to make sure that people would not really be clear on whether or not they wanted a vein. I mean, publicly they said subcutaneous injection, that's muscle, right? And actually subcutaneous is just under the skin, but they got them going in the muscle. They got them avoiding veins. They got them not checking, aspirating the syringe. So you don't want a vein because we don't aspirate. That means that there's some air in it and that's bad. You don't want to inject that into a vein, right? So yeah. Everybody's confused. Some of them are dying because they did the injection wrong or didn't mix or dilute the solution properly or got the wrong solution. Everybody's confused, and they did that. And so that was part of the problem. But what Charles Roche is explaining is that when you do this correctly and it enters your bloodstream this way, this alien form protein, the solution contains, and all everything's made out of protein, okay? So it's not like, you know, you have to try hard. Anything you inject has some kind of protein in it. You get, it triggers a reaction in your body that has an incubation period, okay? That, according to Charles, is exactly half of what it takes to for your body to complete a process. And that process is to file away in wherever it's filed away in your immune system,
yeah,
a formula that generates an apoptoxin, so a very extremely potent poison. And your body just creates this. And it does this if and only if you are secondarily exposed in the same fashion to a similar enough protein sequence. Mm-hmm. If it's exactly the same, you're dead. And if it's you got anything at all different about it, but, you know, like, you know, a couple of atoms in that molecule or whatever the chemistry is, you get something less than death. Everything from itchiness to death is possible in an allergic reaction. So, Charles, you know, being the guy he was trying to, you know, nail this thing down as a process, he divided it up into four different stages. Okay.
Yeah.
So stage one is itchy and stage four is death and everything else is in the other two in the middle. He describes this in his book, by the reactions, of all kinds of animals. And, you know, one interesting, you know, piece of trivia is that we're more similar to dogs than anything else that has ever been used as, you know, a lab.
Why do they treat animal. Why do they use mice and rabbits then? Shouldn't they be because using dogs?
Because it's a stupid choice and they know it, but they don't acknowledge it. And if you're coming up in this industry, they don't tell you this. You know, they don't come right out and tell you this.
Is it because of everyone's love for dogs?
Could be, but but I don't think that the people who, you know, operate those facilities have any love for anything the way they torture cruelly the lab animals that are unfortunate enough to become part of this experiment. And you know, it, so that's where it is. The guys that we're dealing with here, the enemy, I was like, I just call him the enemy.
Yeah, the enemy, yeah.
Here. Yeah, so, you know, everybody else can bicker about who the enemy is. If you don't know, it's too late, you're lost, you better figure it out, because I'm not going to bother wasting the time to tell you. But, you know, regardless, if the way the enemy works is they botch up, you know, things that are easy to confuse, and then they let everybody muddle along through a, you know, a thick haze, and they all fuck it up. And so, you know, nobody's to blame except this guy or that guy or this low-level lackey. No, never me. I had nothing to do with it. You know, show where I did something. Oh, well, you have 18 different NGOs and government departments all saying different things, and you don't seem to even realize that your message is garbled. You know, that's how to do it.
Yeah.
Everybody has to be on the same page, and you know, you can't get there because you're messing around with this on the left hand, and on the right hand you're screwing with the educational system and teaching everybody wrong-headed things, and that's been going on since Charles left us.
Yeah. Now, has anyone else done any research on anaphylaxis since Charles? How can he be the last guy? It's 100 years ago.
Well, because he got it correct. I mean, this has been true as long as there have been humans walking the earth. He actually did a bunch of little testing procedures on a mummy from ancient Egypt that was 6,000 years old. He used some tissue out of that he somehow obtained. Maybe it was easier to do back then to get something like that. But that was his conclusion. You know, this is written in granite, this law that I'm telling you about. Okay, this is how it works, and it's never going to change. And the shocking thing is how antithetical that conclusion that he came to it was from the entire.
John, we got a caller in, or let's see if I can take this call.
13 seconds. Everybody has to be on the same page.
All right, caller in, where are you calling from? What's your name?
Brian in Washington State.
Hi, Brian. Hey. Can you hear John?
Can you hear me, Brian? Yeah, good to have you. What's up?
Yep. I'm just wondering, are you familiar with the work of Kevin McCarron, currently in Japan, originally from Britain?
Tell me what he did. Is recent?
He's a neurologist. He is currently doing some experiments involving hamsters, exposing them to the vaccine, and trying to determine the effects that it has. But
he's not going to get anywhere.
Is worthy of note is that his opinion is that this deer wasting disease, which he believes to be a bioweapon created in a lab on the East Coast and has now spread across the United States and is most recently been detected here in Washington State. This disease is going to affect human beings, but not as a bioweapon where you just fall over and die.
Hey, can I interrupt you? Brian, can I interrupt you? I've heard this before. I had to make sure that, you know, I pay you some respect that we're talking about the same guy, but I'm going to be honest with you. From my perspective where I sit, I don't bother even looking at a lot of the work these people, others like him, do, because they are, man, I got an explanation that is just mind-boggling, and nobody's going to understand it at all. And there isn't enough time to explain why I think this is the case, but I'll throw it on you. You have to understand that these guys are all miseducated. They go through and get their credentials through an indoctrination system, which is fatally flawed. So they're not producing any real candidates that could solve this mystery. So there's no point in watching them flounder. They're all confused by, you know, what they think is possible in genetics. They're confused by this zoonotic transfer idea that you could actually catch a disease that comes up in, you know, some other kind of animal kingdom member. And it's absolutely impossible to catch anything. That's one thing. All right. There are no pathogenic contagions at all. I realize how big a claim that is.
Yeah, but I agree 100%. By the way, is this Kevin guy the prions guy and prion disease?
Prions is another thing.
That's the guy? Yeah, okay, yeah. So he's all over the internet then. I found him. I'll put a link to his stuff.
Yeah,
but
yeah. Find something else to do, man. I'll give you a couple ideas, because, you know, a guy like you, it has more like to come to the conclusion I came to than any scientist, right? They're just all, you know, using like dull tools or no tools. So zoonotic transfer is impossible. Contagions are, you know, non-existent. Your body makes everything both good and bad as a means to maintain homeostasis, which is just simply defined as the absence of illness. It's just good health, man. But the way these guys, you know, good analogy would be. Back up from the microscope eyepiece, because your magnification is so close that you think a print on a newspaper is white or black only. You can't back up and see that you're looking at a newspaper article. So everything to come up with is just like weird, right? You waste time trying to educate them that, you know, you don't even have the first set of skills, you know, that you need to get here. All right, so your body makes everything good and bad to maintain homeostasis. They deny that. They accept germ theory, which I am convinced is just incorrect. I say that because
Cowan,
the guy it's based on Cowan is incorrect.
Cowan and Kaufman are both Jews, and you can wander over to the Baileys. And
I know.
What is being Jewish have to do with anything?
You know, Ab, you know, it's not that anybody's a member of the Jewish club. It's that there are people that go all the way back to Babylonian times. And back then, they had a name that people referred to them with. It was the name stealers.
Okay? Right. Okay.
All right. So that's who we're dealing with. And everybody
maybe,
just calls them
maybe
Jews.
This all works out that there happens to be a bunch of dual citizenship people running the United States. This doesn't matter to you, but returning returning to the subject that we are discussing, Kevin McCarron believes that the Baileys, Cowan, and Kaufman are involved in a no virus hoax so that when the deer wasting disease takes people over, they aren't dropping dead, they're debilitated. If you want to destroy an army, you don't have them all drop over in the trench. You make
obvious. I'm totally on board with you, man. Let me give you the answer. Okay, first of all, understand that this is just another bunch of inversions actually that create confusion, and everybody to some extent has fallen into the trap of latching on to something they heard, deeming it plausible, possibly true, maybe even likely, and then they set the sight of the rifle in the wrong direction. They do that on purpose. So I have mixed feelings about everybody, including Tom, even though Tom is brilliant. I love what that man does. However, he will not talk to me. He's never responded to me. He's actively, put a block on any, page that he, shares information on. If I can hack my way into one of his live streams, I just sit there and go, Tom, why are you ignoring me? Tom, say hi. I got the man's phone number. He won't pick it up. The fucker is avoiding me for some kind of reason, right? Because he doesn't want to tread on the area that he probably, one time J.J. Cooey said, I think I know what's going on with Peter McCullough, and he, likes him, but he doesn't like him. He doesn't know why he doesn't hit the nail on the head. He just throws darts anywhere but the, bullseye. And people listen to him because he's credentialed and been that way for a long time and knowledgeable and all that. But, when he started out, he was the very first guy that snubbed me. I said, dude, I got something you ought to look at, because I actually spoke with him early in this whole thing. And he just listened for half of what I had to say and said, John, I'm sorry, I just don't have any time. J.J. Cooey, who's, a very bright guy, not bright enough to solve the puzzle, but very bright. He's bringing people up to the fourth floor of a 10-story PSYOP, which needs to be done. So no problem with that. But he says, Peter McCullough, I can just imagine what, briefing he got, if he got one, and what it contained. A bunch of, government people and spooks come to you and they say, hey, listen, we got a national crisis going on. We'd appreciate it if we'd appreciate your help. So if we're going to read you in and tell you, some information that isn't public and sign this. So, take your life if you ever voice it to anyone other than us. And we're going to ask that you do something and just have faith it's the right thing to do, and then you get Peter McCullough. I think that Tom is like one of those guys. Of course, they probably didn't have to impress him all that much. Remember, he used to be a doctor, and he turned his license in because he was fed up with, what he was having to lie about. And I love the way he thinks. But he won't talk to me because I probably would put him on the spot and make him step over that line if he did into some area that they tell him you can talk about these seven things, but these three things, don't touch them. They're hot stoves, right? And you get all of this. So JJ is very astute, and he says of Tom's no virus theory, look, the problem with this, it's a fundamental problem. I don't think he gets, but I think he does. If your position is that there are no viruses, you have to come up with an alternative theory to explain it to, somehow, successfully, babble with all the literature that's been produced that has to do with viruses that don't exist. And without a better explanation, the only option in science, if you follow scientific method and you do it correctly, religiously, is to revert back to the previous understanding. That's all you're leaving anybody with as an option if they accept your statement is true. And that previous understanding, believe it or not, was demons. Okay? Because if you got sick,
yeah,
you know.
And yeah, they just renamed demons viruses. It's really nothing right. different. Yeah.
Right, right.
I'll go with demons over viruses any day.
Yeah, and you know, it's back then it was probably very plausible.
Because then it's then it's really obvious that it's total BS.
Yes. Yeah. And what did you have back then? You had priests. You didn't have, you know, doctors per se. You had healers and practitioners of various kinds, and you know, that's that worked. Whatever they had, you know, kept us on this planet for millennia, and whatever these guys have just, you know, lowers the population numbers dramatically. So who do you think is right? Naturopathy and homeopathy is the way, and that's where Emmanuel is, and he's treading, you know, he's trailblazing in that area in ways I there is nobody doing the things that
mind
you're
if
doing.
I comment back at you?
Go for it.
Tom Cowan, he thinks you ought to grow a real good vegetable garden. And with this amazing health benefit, you're going to take care of
can
all
you do
this.
That? Can you do that? Because I can't. I don't have a green thumb. My thumbs are black.
Jenna and myself can send you some photos of what a vegetable garden is supposed to look like at the tail end of August.
Thanks. I'd like that.
This off. May I just say that it appears to me that fakeologist Tim could contact Kevin McCarron and have him on, and he could slay J.J. Cooey for his Cooey.
It's unproductive.
Who's J.J. Cooey?
J.J. Cooey is a scientist who works for Children's Health Defense. And he is a brilliant guy, but he is like everybody of his ilk. He is building a castle with, you know, with foundational blocks of sand. And so it doesn't matter what he builds with that. It's going to fall down if he keeps adding to it. And so I said this to him on, I used to attend all of his calls because he does them frequently and I like him a lot. But I have to say, you know, man, I don't really expect, and I was really talking to somebody else in the live stream, not him directly at first, but I said, you know, the problem with JJ, and don't get me wrong, I love JJ, but he's unwilling and very unlikely to completely abandon his formal education to come over to the side that has figured it out. So this is why I say it's a 10-story PSYOP, and he is showing people to the stairwell and bringing them up to the fourth floor, maybe. And nobody can climb any higher because that's as high as the staircase goes. I got an elevator to the penthouse. I live in the penthouse, all right? And that's a bold statement, and it's a little arrogant sounding to a lot of people because, you know, what the hell does this guy know? I know something that probably nobody's thought of, and I'll tell you what that is just to get it out there once. I've never said this on any show at all because I'm talking about a
this
body
of This is an
work.
exclusive.
Yeah, yeah, you'll hear it here and nowhere else, probably till there's no more humans, because I don't think anybody really cares to look at this shit. There's a guy, an amazing man, called Walter Russell, all right? I'm going to not spend any time on his historical bio because this is something you got to either look at yourself and figure out if you're ready for this. All right. And I will come right out and tell you, I don't think this man's capable of telling a lie. And I think that he got a cosmic download. He was a, you know, what they call an autodidactic polymath. The man, there was nothing he couldn't do. Sculpture, art, music. The thing he was the least skilled at was the formal kinds of procedures, trainings, vocabulary that go along with all the hard science. He had to learn that to tell a scientist that with, you know, multiple PhDs and things what he's getting wrong. And then he did. And then that guy dismissed him for being a lunatic, because you can only, you know, explain what a flying saucer is to a certain person in a certain chronological place in the, you know, history that we know about and probably don't understand if it's right or not. Before that, it's just magic, right? So he's got the magic book and the magic wand, and he's swinging it around doing impossible feats, transmuting elements. I mean, this guy, you know, had, they gave him some space at Westinghouse, and he was able to take a sealed vial with nothing but hydrogen in it and, you know, wave his wand around and produce 17 different elements. It was him that discovered deuterium, plutonium, two others, like, you know, blanking on
that. Sounds like a quack.
But no, the guy was unbelievable. All you guys that, you know, that wander and fiddle around in your sheds building free energy devices will never, ever achieve anything unless you read Walter Russell, because he gives you a diagram. He's got a patent. That fucking thing works, and you'll understand why if and only if you do what I did. For the past month and a half, man, I have not left my chair. I have read almost 10 of his books. They're all over his shit is all over. I got 160 pages of nothing but the sketches and diagrams he masterfully created. I mean, technical drawing is a skill that you got to learn. When you see some of his diagrams, if you understand that, you're going to be like, what the hell does this guy know? All right, so here's a big buildup, obviously, but I'm going to tell you what they're doing with the vaccines, okay? And I haven't got it all mapped out yet because I need a chemist. So if anybody hears this that has chemistry training, this will go a lot quicker, please. Email me, call me, contact me, go to my website. I mean, Ab will put it all up.
I'll put it out. Yeah.
I need a guy like that. And, you know, the ones that I do have, because I, you know, I got a phone number of a guy that will take a call who's got a PhD in it, just about every field, sometimes two or three of them. And, you know, this is asking them a favor on faith. And, you know, a lot of them are busy. I'm retired. I got nothing to do but this. So I don't have anything to offer except, you know, trust me. And that's not enough. But you start with Walter's periodic table, which is a bewildering diagram the first time you see it. It's just the elements organized in a unique way. And it takes a lot of study. I mean, it was probably a couple of weeks before I truly understood, and I'm still working on this, exactly everything important that you can learn from studying his table. He has all the elements divided into a 9-octave a diagram that is a 2-dimensional representation of a 3-dimensional spiral that is kind of like a couple of opposing cones where they point at each other. They're tippy top end. All right. And at the center of that is a fulcrum where you find the center of this scale of octaves. So there's, he calls that a fulcrum. All right. And this construct works like a fulcrum from the top of it, which is the lowest octave. As you travel down, it goes up to 9. So the middle is 4.5. And guess what sits right there? Carbon. Okay. Now you can extrapolate a lot from this when you're reading West material. Nobody has an answer if you ask them, you know, why are they attacking, you know, what they're attacking in their big climate agenda? It's because you're made of carbon. It's this veiled language. They're attacking you and everything. So everything is made of carbon.
You are the carbon they want to
And that is an exact flip of what it should be. So everything is healthy, everything that supports life, they demonize and trick you into, you know, railing against somehow.
Yeah.
And so they are so evil, you don't have no idea how evil they are.
Yeah, right? I do.
And it's pretty bad.
Finko Tim, could I close it out?
Yeah, close it out.
Okay, well, you've heard of biochar. It's 100%.
Oh, here's the biochar cell. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I mean, it is crucial because I'm in it with this James Scott, who's also a Canuck in Newfoundland, on Facebook. he's accusing me of bringing in the New World Order because I take biomass and heat it without burning it to ash and make it into charcoal, put it in my garden. So if you want to talk,
he's an idiot. I have a tip for you. Do you know who Ken Williams is? He's like the guy that explains magnetism. He's got a channel called Theoria Apophasis on YouTube. I've been with this guy for years. The order of operations, you know, in terms of people I knew about before Walter Russell, started with Tesla. It had Eric Dollard in the middle, and then it went to Ken Williams. He's brilliant, man. He's genius level brilliant, but he's hard to listen to because he's also, you know, idiosyncratic, like all smart people are in his own way. He has a thing up where, you know, he's growing tomatoes and he positions, neodymium magnets in the soil under the seed, and they grow like three times as fast. You have to have the correct pole facing up. If you do it backwards, you won't get this effect. But look around for that on his.
I appreciate it. Tim has given me a chance to close it out. I've never heard of the magnetic vegetable gardener, but look at the art.
Really cool.
Can I continue?
Try and wrap it up, Brian, because I don't want to be here all day.
The Cowans and the Kaufmans 30 years ago go to a bar and somebody of the opposite sex says, hey, do you want to come to my place? And you're laying there on the pillow next to said person. And that person says, I know you want to stick it in there, but I've got a problem. I don't think you should. And you want to walk out with herpes, then that's your decision. You and the Kaufmans and the Cohens can believe that it doesn't exist. But Faco Tim can have Kevin McCarron on in a heartbeat if he just contacts us and say, hey, let's get the other side of this. Because I believe John Lukacs is with the Baileys and the other people involved in this psyop of no virus. And when the shit hits the fan, which it's gonna, then it's gonna be people like yourselves and the Baileys that have perpetrated this. This was all laid out by Ken Kesey, the MK Ultra.
Wait a minute. Let me get this straight. I'm a bad guy. I haven't even said I haven't even brought this all together. I was about to, like, with a couple of sentences, but you want to close it out. I am ahead of the Baileys, and they're doing good work, but there's something missing in everybody's understanding of this that they haven't considered because they don't know it's there. All right, and I just told you where it was, where you find it. But man, is it work to figure it out? This is not intellectually light stuff. You got to study the crap out of this, like your life depends on it. I'm doing that. I'm not near done. It'd take me the rest of my damn life, man. But I can get close. And what I think is actually happening is an answer found in a book Russell wrote called Atomic Suicide. And you don't have to read the whole thing. You'll first couple of chapters, you'll find this. All right. Walter Russell's periodic table has two halves to it. The top half is generative qualities of elements. And the bottom half, the higher you go in the octave, is radiative or radioactive, as most people understand it. So I'm looking at this vaccine list. Everything that's in there, I know. All the different brands, I put it in my book. And I'm seeing weird elements. Antimony, titanium, I mean, all kinds of things. There are plenty of toxic things. Only five things on Mandela's periodic table, which doesn't have everything Russell has, it will kill you. Only five things won't, okay? And organic elements are these five and a few others, things like zinc and magnesium, which are radiative positions. They have radiative positions on the other chart, Russell chart. So what they have done, I asked a question, why did they pick the elements, the weird elements that have no business in any kind of injectable or medicine or nothing that harm you why did they pick the ones that they picked? And the answer is in the detail of that periodic table. They are all members of a twinned, they all have a twinned pair. So there are two elements that go together that share the same place in a different octave, and those are the twins. And there is like a blue side and a red side, and one side is many orders of magnitude more dangerous than the other side, the other color. All right. And I'll leave it to you to decide, because, you know, unless you know whether red is bad or blue is bad, you ain't even close to figuring this out. It's one or the other. So that's the puzzle for you. I solved it, and I need a chemist to help me just go through and check me and make sure that, you know, this map that this concept will generate is accurate. So I can go to another guy and I say, I know what you're doing. I see you, motherfucker. Because they are putting essentially a less toxic version of plutonium in these shots. And what this does brings you to a whole other concept in Russell's thing, is that all matter goes through the same life cycle. It just does it at different speeds. You start early in the formation, like, you know, when you're born, to grow to a point of maturity, which is the fulcrum. And after that, all the vitality and compression that goes on that makes you strong up until the time you mature, reach that point. After that, you coast on whatever gas is in the tank until you run out. That's when you die. And radiative elements, which belong in the earth, they're never, ever, under any circumstances, to be brought to the surface, because their job in the earth is to turn granite and basalt into arable soil, which supports everything on the surface of the planet. You take that shit out of the earth and put it on the surface, and it does what it does, except it's in the wrong place, and all it does is make things dissolve into, you know, the ether they were born from, including you, including plants, including animals. That is as high and as erudite as this argument can possibly get. And I got there by myself. All right. So,
all right.
That's it.
Okay. So, Brian, are you done?
Faco Tim.
Wrap it up, Brian. Wrap it up.
My sweetheart, Jenna, had Dr. Martin Paul from Washington State University on with Kevin McCarron. And Kevin was completely dismissing any electromagnetics involvement in this bioweapon. And now Kevin's over there in Japan playing around with his hamsters and saying, boy, I wonder if all this Wi-Fi and electromagnetics is affecting my surveillance test. So this would be my suggestion. If John Lukacs wants to have some more time now that he's retired, you could have him on with Kevin. I'm not saying Kevin's going to slay his ass. They might learn from each other. The atomic radioactive involvement in this is what I've been through since my 13-year-old daughter died of leukemia. Is it due to the radiation or is it due to vaccination? And this,
I'll go with vaccination.
All right. Well, I know, you know, Kevin McCarron's got kids and he just
they're both bad. One's worse than the other. They're both bad. One's worse, far worse than the other. All right. The radiative elements.
Dr. Martin Paul will say it's both. Non-ionizing and ionizing.
All right.
I appreciate the time.
Thank you. Thank you, Brian. Have a good night.
You as well. Thank you so much.
Say hi to Jenna.
Will do.
I like that, man. I like that.
There goes Brian. Thanks, Brian.
Okay, you can John. He's thinking, right? He's thinking. But
yeah, he's trying.
No, he's doing a good job. But by attacking me, he doesn't even know what he's attacking because he doesn't know this material. And nobody that he named does. I would bet money on it.
Okay, we got another. I think we got another caller in.
35 seconds.
Caller in, or where are you calling from, and what's your name?
Hey, fakeologist. This is Jay from Texas.
Yeah, Jay from Texas. Say hi to John Lukash in Virginia.
Hello, John.
Hi.
How are you doing? Hope everything's good. Hope y'all been doing good.
Oh, yeah. I'm doing fine, man. What do you got for me?
Yes. I wanted to, because the last time I called in, I think I called in about the 9/11 hoax and everything.
That's another topic, though. Keep it on topic.
Yeah, you're talking about the vaxxers, right? And about how, like, predictive programming and everything?
No, we're talking about anaphylaxis. That's what we're trying to talk about, but John...
Well, anaphylactic shock?
I just took a completely different...
Yeah, we're talking... I wanted to talk about anaphylaxis because that's like, the real cause of poisoning and death when it comes to these injections.
I think you said, like, there was, like, four stages, right?
Yes. I got them on the screen right now.
It was like if you get one, like depending on how people get, because I've seen somebody get bit by an ant and have it like just one bite and have them go into that type of thing.
Yeah,
they go into a state that, you know, if they have a hypersensitivity that already exists to whatever that ant, you know, gave them in addition, and it's exactly the same as what the ant gave them. Then you're in anaphylaxis. Up until then, you just got an allergic reaction. But there's very little difference. It's like stage one, okay? If it's serious, it's stage something else in anaphylaxis. But nobody in the world agrees with symptomology and it belonging only to this stage and not that one. In Australia, they have a different chart. In America, they use another chart. In Europe, there's another one. I kept finding these. So it's another point of confusion that muddles the conversation. They only let scientists work in an atmosphere that allows them to progress if it's the direction they want them to move in. Anything else, they wreck.
Okay.
So the vaccines are like causing like different. Different allergic reactions depending on, I guess, on the person, right?
Let me put it to you this way, all right? If I inject you with plutonium, you're dead. You're dead so fast, you don't even, the person, there's no need to examine you. They're just going to, like, take your body and dump it in the bottom of the Marianas Trench so nobody will ever get close to it and stop there, all right? It's that kind of situation. That's just, you know, kind of.
That's if you believe in radioactivity.
No, it's if you believe that toxins are harmful.
Yeah,
there
okay.
There is nothing, the only thing in any of those vaccines that is not harmful is sucrose. And
right.
Not much of it.
Yeah, I got you. John, get closer to the mic because you're really hard to hear.
Sorry.
What do you think is the likely outcome besides, they're doing all this stuff to try to find what in somebody? Because these people think in a very, not only in a very scientific and logical way, which is almost to a borderline of eugenics type way.
No, it
do
is
you
eugenics.
Think, like,
it's always
yeah, do you think they're, what do you think they're trying to do? Like, my theory is they're trying to just, at the same time, kill people, but they want to keep people. But is there like,
listen,
well, no,
they
no.
are.
No. What I'm trying to say is, like, they're trying to find, like, people who are immune to certain things so that they could benefit off them by testing them so they could become those people, but the elite. The elites are going to use those people that they find who
imagine. I know where you're going. I went through that stage too. But I'm gonna give you my opinion here, all right? Because this is how it looks to a guy that is in the penthouse, and that's where I am. If you can accept that or not, but that's where I am, all right? So imagine that we're all on a ship, and these guys are, you know, skulking around and drilling holes in the hull any chance they get where somebody doesn't see them doing it, all right? And they know. Because their entire, you know, all these stupid, you know, religions and mythologies that they suck people in with, and people waste the rest of their lives trying to figure them out if they're real or not. That's all just a game. All right. This is a suicide club. And it has a Gnostic belief system at its core, all right, which is that the earth was built by a creator that is not the creator you would probably name, but an entity they have a name for. They call it the Demiurge. Okay. And the Demiurge cannot really make anything godlike because he doesn't have that ability. He's like Sauron in Lord of the Rings. Everything he makes is a little fucked up in some way. All right. So they don't like that. They think that they need to express and achieve a level of godhood. It is a messianic mental illness. And to do this, they have to destroy not only everything the Demiurge created, but themselves as well, and to destroy the Demiurge. And only when the material universe is gone can they be released from the soul trap of matter. Now, if you read how Russell describes this, you get a sense, like a whole new paradigm, that your soul is, you know, just a divine spark. You're a brain cell in the universal mind. And you have access to the entire universal mind. Every time you had an epiphany or inspiration that came with an amazing feeling of ecstasy, you have just received an email from God. And you may not understand it. This has happened to me a number of times briefly. We're talking like a couple of minutes, I get a flash. And then I spend the rest of my life trying to figure out what the fuck that meant. And I realize now what that was. And so, it happens to everybody, even the bad guys, all right? But they are hell-bent on their philosophy, which is, we just need to kill carbon. And if we do that, we'll be released, right? And it's just a misunderstanding. They're hopelessly misguided. And you should not, even though I say this a lot, if I had a gun, I'd just shoot them in the face, no trial. But that's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to hug them, love them, fix their understanding, and bring them back into the fold. And they're never going to go. Not in this incarnation, right? So it's a dead end as far as tasks go. I'm not up to it. Nobody is. That's what they're doing. So they expect that at the end, they're going to hang around till the end, getting rid of shit. But they're going to be there when their time to go. They expect to be eliminated. It's part of the plan. It's a suicide club. It's insanity. And you can't understand an insane mind if you're sane.
Yeah, I agree. All right, you got a last question before we wrap it up? It's good to wrap the show up tonight. I'm running a little late thanks to technical issues.
I was getting at, like, what would they do if they found something that is resistant to their stuff? That's what I mean. Like, how you have plants and animals out there that are kind of resistant over, like our pets sometimes.
They're not after that. They're not after anything like that. If you think
what happens if they're able to find, like, God, like, or the Lord himself, like, that's what I'm saying. If they're able to see that who tries to stop them, and then they try to stop. That's what I'm saying. That's what, when you look at all this, it looks like that's what they're trying to do, is trying to find the good.
We can all relax, because the universe at its core is a self-sustaining, eternal construction or creation, however you want to look at it. They can't win. And that's where, good always triumphs over evil come from, because it's not that anything really is good and evil, and they'll twist at it to get you to do something you shouldn't. But the idea that it is a seesaw, it has a fulcrum, is perfectly balanced, because and it's very hard to wrap your head around this, because of the way that the illusion of everything you're capable of perceiving is created. So it's hard to even conceive of how this works. But if you can understand it, and I am getting there, all right, I just accept it first, and then I try to work it out, like Russell was given, a perfect understanding.
I'm catching
up. We're all catching up to him. We'll never get there. For, believe it or not, 40 centuries is how long it's going to take. And that prediction was, something God supposedly said to him to calm him down. Because, if you read Atomic Suicide, he's like, oh, my God, stop, there's nuclear fission, fusion. It's not a better way to boil water. Here, let me give you the free energy. This is how you boil water better. And there's a diagram. Man, you could build this. It ain't hard. It ain't hard. I got an electrical engineer working on it now. He's all intrigued. I could make this, but you know what it does. I can't hide. I don't know. They'll come and kill me just for doing it. Everybody that got close, Dan Meyer, all those guys, they figured this out. But you know, they're dead. It's really quick. You know, it's a very simple device, and it's not something you plug into. All it does is generate heat, and you take that heat and you run a boiler. The boiler runs a turbine. The turbine runs a commutator, and then you get as much electricity as you want. It's like a battery, a bottomless battery that just never runs out of outlets. It's amazing, this concept, right? And it's right there.
I understand what you're talking about. Yeah.
But it does, because every commutator generator that we've ever made spins in the wrong direction and is based on a cylindrical stator, and they need to be two opposing conical stators that are wired around the coil.
I don't understand the technical thing, but I know what you're talking about. Like,
it has no moving parts. It has no moving parts.
Well, see, that's wild. That's wild right there.
Okay, Jay, thanks for calling in. Appreciate it. All right. Thank you. There goes Jay. And we got to wrap it up. John, any closing statements on anaphylaxis? Because that is what your book was about. That's what we were here for.
Anna, avoid it. Just no needles. All right. If you can't take this conversation or you don't want to bother with it, you want to just veg out and do whatever you do, smoke weed. All right. Just don't let anybody put a needle in you, because they're all full of this shit now. Any medical injectable is contaminated. All right. The guys down at Cascallon, they figured that out. 750 things they tested. This was 2 years ago. All of them, from dental anesthetic to insulin to vaccines. If it comes in a needle, run.
Yeah. But if you're a type 1 diabetic, you need insulin. So
you're fucked. There is none. You're fucked. You're all vaccinated if you're diabetic. I'm sorry to bring that up.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, I'm sorry for you. But just, you know, hey, you get another time, man. We cannot die, all right? And they cannot have any effect on consciousness. They can only destroy material things like your body. If they get you, they get you. Fuck it. You're going to be back in a century doing it again, and they might be gone then. You'll have a break, and then they come back. And this just goes on. There's an end to it. We can all look forward to, and we will all get there, but it's going to be like, according to this, 40 centuries before it happens. I think 3809 or something is the date. The whole other show, tell you where that comes from. But,
nice.
But you know, relax. Just have fun, man. Just fuck these guys. Don't do anything they tell you to do.
I agree. All right, John, you're on fire tonight. I'm glad we finally got connected, and keep on trucking. We'll bring it back and try and talk a little more about anaphylaxis and the book you wrote. That was a really good one. All right. Thanks, John. Have a great night.
All right, brother.
Take care. There goes John Lukash of Virginia. There goes us. We started a little late. Sorry about that. If you like this kind of show, fakeologist.com/donate. That's where you can help us out and keep the video platform going. Fakotube, fakotube.com. And we'll be back tomorrow. Tuesday is the Lynn Ertel Show. Hope you guys had a good weekend like I did. And don't forget, we got 20 hours of audio chat. Just go to fakeologist.com/podcast or look up Fakeologist Audio Chat or Fakeologist Show on your favorite podcast app. I recommend Podcast Addict on the Android or Overcast on the iOS platform. Take care, everybody. Good night. That you really do. Everybody knows that you've been faithful. Give or take a night or two. Everybody knows you've been discreet, but there were so many people.